I'm Alana Roche.
And I'm Dr. Lauren Costine. And welcome to The Consciousness Salon.
The Consciousness Salon is a conversation where I, community activist Alana, meets with psychologist Dr. Lauren to explore current and historical issues in order to disrupt current paradigms and offer restorative tools and practices.
We will be discussing issues ranging from gender parity, misogyny, shadow work, microaggressions, looking at our internalized conscious or unconscious racism. And at the end of the day, how all of this affects how we feel about ourselves and others, and so much more.
Welcome back, everyone.
Hey. Hi, Alana.
How you doing, Lauren?
Good.
I'm so excited about our little episode today.
Yeah, me too. We're going to get into some interesting stuff.
I'm really glad that it was kind of touched upon last episode as well. I think it was a great segue into this episode. Folks, we are going to be discussing the shadow. It's actually one of Dr. Lauren's favorite topics. She's quite obsessed with this topic. Dr. Lauren actually received her doctorate in a program called Depth Psychology. And
at Pacifica Graduate Institute.
Thank you.
In Santa Barbara.
Excellent.
It's a very specialized program. It was interesting. It's wonderful. It was just life-changing. And people fly in from all over the world to go there because it's the only one of its kind in the world. So I had classmates from Massachusetts and Hawaii and Texas and Michigan, like in my cohort for 3 years. Yeah. It's really quite something.
Yeah, that sounds like a really special program.
Yeah, it really was.
Really unique. Is that the only place it was offered?
The one like this. It's the only one that is really offered. That's why people fly in.
Yeah.
All over.
Yeah. One of the things about Dr. Lauren that you may or may not know, but if you've been listening to these episodes, you probably have caught on that she is a huge fan of Carl Jung.
Yes, I am.
Am I saying the last name correct?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
And Carl Jung actually is the psychologist who discovered the shadow. So,
and that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. So without any further delay, is there something you want to?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I know that our listeners are very brave people because the kind of topics that we are getting into are deep and, sometimes intense, and they do take courage to go there, you know. But what's really exciting about it is when you take the plunge and go into these deeper topics about self-realization and understanding yourself or understanding the ways the society is affecting you. There's so much fruit at the end of the journey, and there's along the way as well. And, you know, there's a just kind of a peeling of the onion, basically. It's like you embark on the individuation process, as Jung coined it, which is really kind of discovering yourself, or as he put it, it's creating a relationship between the self and the ego, which is sort of the outer part of ourself that's connected to the outer world. And then we've got the inner parts of ourselves that have the unconscious and the shadow and these sort of romantic areas of ourselves that stay, you know, kind of deep inside. And when we discover these, when we make them conscious and they're not sitting there inside of us just ruling us, you have so much more liberation and freedom, not only internally, but in your life, right? Because you're actually managing it instead of it managing you. Because the unconscious is extremely powerful and it will run you. It will run the show, and it's usually
every time.
And it's
without fail.
Without fail. And it's often not pretty at all. It can come out in addictions and very self-sabotaging or self-destructive behavior, or, you know, you just really can't reach your potential. I mean, there's so many things. So when we decide to talk about the shadow as one of the things I have always been obsessed with, and you yourself finding deep interest in it, right? It's because it's really exciting to get into, I've found, and the work I've done for over the last 20 years, when you get into this, it's like, it works. It really works to do this. Like, he was so on fire. Now, one of the things about Jung that I think is also really important is that he himself wouldn't work individually with folks unless they were over 40. And the reason was he found that middle age was when people had had enough experiences, particularly devastating or heartbreaking experiences, to get them to a place where they were willing to work on parts of themselves that before the defense mechanisms were usually keeping them from doing. Does that make sense?
Yes, 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 yes.
So I have found that it can be earlier. That was sort of the average age, he would say, you know. But I myself took the, quote, red pill and woke up in 33, when I was 33, when I got sober. And so, you know, that's younger than 40. And I'm working with some folks in their 20s that are just clearly old souls. And this isn't their first rodeo. And they're like here to do the work early.
That's what's so great about our podcast is that it actually reaches quite a wide range of age range, because young folks are waking up.
Younger. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Every generation, I feel like the need to understand and heal sooner in their journey is happening.
Yeah. And then we also have so much access today.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
The information.
Just information. You can Google something.
100%. I think that plays
a big role.
The information age is definitely a huge influencer in that.
And then our media is getting more psychological on multiple levels. I mean, just like, for instance, the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was, you know, focused on mental illness and addictions, and a show that actually did that would like never happen.
Yeah, the
20
writing
years ago, right?
Yeah, the writing in movies and films and in television shows are definitely evolving.
Evolving psychologically
to include these elements that need to be discussed, right?
Right. I mean, because at the end of the day,
I mean, how powerful.
So powerful.
Because that's a really great platform.
Yeah, because people will end up watching it and they don't realize that they're then going to be getting educated or it's going to help with their awakening individuation process, right?
Yep.
So, and it's really exciting because at the end of the day, one thing we all shared, doesn't matter where you're from or the color of your skin or your sexual orientation or gender identity or any of it, we all have a psyche and we all have this psychology that we're dealing with ourselves and with each other. And that's such a shared, important piece, and it influences so much. And that's, I think it's so lost. So in the fact when people are so externally driven, you know, and that's kind of one of my big platforms. I could get on my soapbox about that. But what we're going to do today is talk about this interesting thing called the shadow. And for those of you that are with us today and are as interested as we are, welcome. And, you know,
thank you for being courageous, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you for seeking out this information, seeking out this wisdom, this knowledge, wanting to know new ways to navigate your journey.
Beautifully said.
So yes. The shadow, addressing the shadow, looking at your shadow, all things we're going to be discussing in this episode really empowers you to look at yourself in a way that is so incredibly healing once you've gone through that process.
Right. And I love how you said that. It's like, this is a really, really incredible, effective way to navigate your journey, you know? So we'll be getting into all of that. So
step number one, thanks you for listening. Ta-da, you did it.
Yay.
Congrats. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, that was really incredible, Lauren. Did you want to kind of define what shadow is for our listeners? I know we kind of talked about it in a broad scope, but or I don't know.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so the shadow, and according to Jung, is a place inside of our unconscious where we stuff and hide parts of ourselves that we don't like, or were told by society or our parents or whoever raised us that they were not, you know, good parts of ourselves. It's the parts of ourselves that we split off from our consciousness and put deep into the shadow. It could be our rage about something. It could be childhood trauma. It could be grief. It could be aggressive feelings. It could be, you know, anything that's really kind of makes us uncomfortable. Okay.
Can you talk a little bit about the word splitting?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You use that in your explanations often. I think maybe it might be a good time to kind of elevate that.
Good question. So splitting is when you have these parts inside of yourself and you put them into categories of either good or bad.
So okay. I call it compartmentalizing.
Right. And that's also a
is
way.
Is it similar or
it's
different?
It's definitely similar. But when we look at it from this particular psychological perspective, it's like, okay, we're splitting it something in half. That's about ourselves. And we're saying, okay, this part's all bad and this part's all good. And I'm going to put what's bad into the shadow because that's intolerable or it's not acceptable to me or to others. And then I'm going to ignore it. It goes into the unconscious and I don't even actually know it's there. Or I might have an inkling that it's there, but I'm just not going to pay any attention. And then I'm going to elevate or put forth through my persona, through who I am to the world and to myself, my good stuff, the stuff that I have deemed quote good or society has deemed quote good. Now this is, you know, all kinds of ranges, right? From, you know, sexual orientation, gender expression, trauma, you know, anger, yeah. Sadness, grief, all of it. And I think we talked about this earlier, Alana. We don't want to say all emotion, that there's just bad emotions and there's good emotions. I mean, the bottom line is there's an array of emotions that as human beings, we all feel. And that what's really important is to sort of change the terminology, the conversation to say some of these feelings are incredibly uncomfortable and some of these feelings feel really, really good. And that's why we've put them into these two categories.
And it's really based around how it feels. It feels awkward. We're really redefining our relationship or renaming our relationship with these words, right?
Exactly.
So it's awkward. Yes. It's uncomfortable. It's not good or bad. It's not binary.
Bingo.
Because exactly the truth is these feelings, as awkward or uncomfortable as they are, actually leads to joy in the end.
Exactly. So that's the idea. I love that you said that. So the idea is, and this was Jung's concept, which was really got me on, I mean, really hooked me into my psychological journey, actually, was that when you look at the shadow stuff, the stuff that's been put into the shadow, that leads you to internal liberation, ultimately. That leads you to...
Internal liberation.
Yeah.
I love that word. What a great word.
And it's true. It's like because when we are stuffing all these parts of ourselves into the shadow and then trying to ignore them, well, they don't go away. They're just sitting there out of our awareness. And then they're coming out sideways, basically. These are not psychological terms, by the way, but a way I like to describe it.
I did a lot of that in my 20s.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, I did a lot of it. I mean, I don't think I got to a place of like absolute wholeness until my mid-30s.
Yeah, well, that's, I think so. That's a great time, though, too, right? It wasn't like way late. It's really nice, a nice, good. I mean, 30s is a great time to start doing this.
And that's with me like reading self-help books in my early 20s.
Yeah. So,
and it still took that long.
That's actually not uncommon either. In other words, you can still stay pretty unconscious, but you're starting to plant the seeds by doing things like that. Like way before I got sober and kind of woke up, I went to this affirmation workshop. I drove all the way to the valley. That was, you know, I lived in the city. I drove all the way to the valley. I was going to do this affirmations, you know, and read, you know, say them to myself and put them on the mirror. And well, it didn't work at all. And that's why when I got into psychology and started realizing you have to work on your shadow and your trauma, I was like, I'm not just going to say affirmations on top of trauma. And there was this whole idea too that I really aligned with, and it's along the lines here, was spiritual bypass. And a lot of that was happening after all this incredible spiritual concepts and ideas came to the United States in the 60s and 70s from these folks that had traveled and then brought it back. Well, what happened was people were avoiding the shadow work and the trauma work and just doing this like positive spiritual work. And it's very problematic because then you're just bypassing, you know, the stuff that's still sitting there underneath inside of you, affecting you, managing you. And so
in a lot of ways, still behind the wheel.
Absolutely behind the wheel, like you were saying. And so in my 20s, I was a, you know, train wreck, hot mess, whatever, like on multiple levels. I mean, I also had a lot of fun. It wasn't like, oh, the whole thing was bad, but there was a lot of bad things that happened. And, you know, the drinking and using was out of control. And so were other kinds of addictions. And, you know, when I got sober and then started to look at psychology, and Jung was the one that really resonated with me when he talked about the shadow, because he said, look, you know, you look at these parts of yourselves that you don't want to look at or you've been told to ignore, you can gain access to yourself, and you can also move the energy around that's been trapped inside around these parts of yourselves that you have put away because it's uncomfortable or you've been told they're not okay. And that just even starting to have the conversation about them, finding a safe person to talk about these parts of yourself. Really, I advise working with a professional around this kind of stuff because it gets really deep and the trauma can come up and so on and so forth. And really finding a safe place where you can talk about those deep, dark secrets. Oh, you know, it comes out in fetishes. It comes out in, you know, sexual behavior, stuff that's like people have a hard time talking about. So you want to be able to have a safe place to talk about these things.
I am curious. We talked a little bit about kind of like the scale of how when the shadow isn't being looked at or addressed and it's just sitting, the symptoms that come from that. And I know you've talked about it already, but I think it's also good to kind of look at the minor scale versus
major scale.
Major. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, sarcasm could be a symptom that's, you know, very nonviolent, but still represents.
Right. I mean, yeah, and it's seemingly nonviolent.
Yeah.
But it can actually be experienced as a microaggression to the receiver.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. But why?
But it's not like we're not sitting there saying, oh, it's, you know, of the scale of warfare, obviously, or physically harming someone.
But that's also comes with microaggressions.
Yeah.
Microaggressions are so they're because they're micro,
they're under the radar. We could say, yeah, you know, because there's, you know, a collective shadow too, right? So when people are engaging in these microaggressions, they're often in the collective shadow, especially if they're not being addressed or talked about, or they're only addressed in certain areas, certain groups. So sarcasm is, I think, an excellent example that I think a lot of people experience or maybe even participate in and don't realize that it's a way of the shadow leaking out, right? So there is a saying that sarcasm is anger disguised as humor. And look, I'm not putting down humor or levity or having fun or joking around. There can be a lot of fun in that, especially in social environments, right? But sarcasm can also be really mean, and it can be intended to hurt the person that it's aimed at. But the person who's engaging in the sarcasm doesn't think that's what they're doing.
Of course not.
Right?
It's problematic.
Yeah.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's harming someone you may potentially be close to or love.
Usually.
Usually. And second of all, it's pushing them away. And they don't even know it. So they think like, oh, I have a close relationship, or I can say whatever I want, or they can handle it, or man up, or whatever it is, right? You know, well, you're too sensitive, blah, blah, blah. I can say what I want. It's
which I'm just joking. And those are all microaggressions.
Right, and I'm just joking.
Sandwiching a microaggression. Lordy begordy. Yes. So, yes.
So it's one of these shadow manifestations that is really hard to handle because for many recipients of it, you're put in a no-win situation. If you say, hey, that's not funny. Oh, you're too sensitive. Oh, you can't take a joke. Like, because the person who's engaging in this shadow activity is going to have so many defenses up around it as well. There's no way they think that they're doing anything. They're just having fun. Yet they obviously have a lot of anger towards the person that they're doing this to, maybe resentments that they're not dealing with, or they just have a lot of anger inside of their shadow that they're not dealing with, or they have childhood trauma that they've never dealt with. And so this is a way of it can come out sideways.
Do you have any suggestions for our listeners if they were the receiver of that type of
that kind of behavior,
microaggressions? Do you have any suggestions or tools for them that they can kind of apply in that situation?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, and maybe you can chime in too.
Yeah.
Because this is boundary stuff. Yeah. Right? So, we could talk about that. You know, how do you set boundaries around this? Well, if it's really, say it's a close family member and you have to see them in certain situations and they're going to always go after you, there's a couple things you can do. You can completely ignore them. So when people are engaging in their shadow unconsciously like that, what they're looking for is reaction. They're looking for energy sent back. When you don't send any energy back, eventually they have to stop because they're not getting the ping they're looking for. They're not getting the energy. The tennis ball is not being hit back.
Exactly.
Right.
Let all the air out of their balloon.
Right. Just ignore them. Maybe turn to somebody else and engage in a different conversation. It's really empowering because you're taking your power back in that moment because you're not, this is not the time to engage in a lesson.
Yes, exactly. Just don't engage.
Don't engage.
Just don't engage. Just walk away.
Another one is to walk away. So you can sit there and maybe change the conversation, not engage. You can literally walk away if it's really harmful and they're actually going after you and it's super inappropriate and then you need to set a stronger boundary.
Physically remove yourself.
Physically remove yourself. Another thing you can do if they're relentless and they're going after you for whatever pain they're in, you can walk away and send them a text. And you can say, like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to physically leave this environment if you don't stop. If that doesn't work, then maybe you do need to physically leave the family event. just to continue to empower yourself and take care of yourself.
And just know, remember that you're not the crazy one. Because it's going
gaslighting.
It's gaslighting. It's going to feel really crazy because you're like, wow, I am being attacked. This is what's, because if it's escalating to that level, it feels like attacks.
Right. And then what your inner critic
you're verbally
will say,
being attacked.
Right. And then what your inner critic will say is, maybe I am too sensitive.
Right.
Maybe I don't have a sense of humor. Maybe I don't know how to take a joke. And that's where the gaslighting makes you feel crazy.
100%.
You completely start to doubt.
Especially if there's other people in the space.
Right.
And no one else is reacting.
Or.
And you're the only one being impacted. It's awful.
Bingo. You're the only one being impacted and no one's standing up for you either. Like, this person is able to do this in this environment and get away with it. Obviously,
they
wouldn't keep doing it. What I found with this kind of thing too, if you're the target of somebody, they'll do it when no one's around as well as another form of gaslighting. Because then when you say it's being done, people will be like, oh, well, what are you talking about? I don't see
100%
him or her doing that.
It's awful.
It's like, no, they actually do. Well, I've never seen it. So, you know. Like, so the gaslighting can become more gaslighting. It's just, so that's a way that the shadow can really get engaged. And
that's just one example.
That's just one example.
The list is long.
I have many.
And this is where, folks, if you are experiencing something like this, you know, we really invite you to reach out to us. You know, send us an email, drlaurenalon@gmail.com. Contact us on our Instagram. There's so many platforms you can reach us on. And it's just really important that you get the support you need around this, because you're not alone. You're not crazy. This is really, you know, these situations occur. And
all the time, actually.
And nobody talks about it.
Yeah. And I think one of the most pernicious ways of dealing with this is when you feel isolated around it and you don't have the tools, or you're not getting the support that you need to navigate this part of the journey of your own waking up process, which includes boundary setting and feeling worthy to not take this kind of microaggression abuse.
I love it.
Right?
Exactly. Yep.
So then we can also turn to a more intense example. A bigger example, right?
Yeah, more of like along the lines of a violent action. Yeah, I mean, sexual abuse is a pretty extreme violent action.
Yeah,
and
so is child sexual abuse, right?
Absolutely.
And so what can happen is, say that happens to you in your childhood, a lot of folks will bury that. Understandably,
of course. Yes.
And it gets deeply buried into the shadow. And they don't realize that it's really harming them, right? By not dealing with it, with such a big trauma. And then it can come, of course, that creates a lot of addictions, a lot of like failure to launch or challenges with relationships. I mean, the list goes on, right? And I think that was very well illustrated in the documentary about Michael Jackson and those two boys, or now they're men, and how they had both kind of been ignoring it until they each had sons. And then it opened up for them this explosive trauma that they're both still dealing with, but went and got a lot of help and then told their story. Because this is happening. It's endemic. It's happening all over the world. And it's so taboo that, you know, victims of this aren't getting help. And then, you know, you can see, like, especially in that documentary, how it affected these two men. Like, that's, you know, how badly it affected their lives on multiple levels. And so that's a big T example of it. But I think that their story illustrates how they repressed and repressed and repressed, and then they had that moment in their life where the light bulb goes off, and then they start dealing with it, and how courageous that is, and how important it is that they started working on themselves in that way, yeah. Right? So, you know, and you may know people who have had a lot of trauma in their life, and or you yourself may have had a lot of trauma in your childhood, and maybe the people that you know, they aren't dealing with it yet, and as you start embarking on this journey, you're noticing how it's affecting them, and you're also noticing how it's affecting you that they're not dealing with it. And so those are the big questions that we have to start looking at when we embark on the journey of becoming conscious. Your relationships with people might change.
It's literally like the first thing.
Right?
It's the first thing. It's the first thing that evolves, because chances are good that you created your social base based on the conscious level you had.
Right, exactly.
So you're going, you know, like attracts like.
Yep.
Law of attraction, all these concepts. So if you are operating at a lower frequency or operating at an unconscious frequency, and you're just kind of going through your life, not dealing with your shadow, not fully realizing who you are, not allowing yourself to fully bloom, not dealing with
your stuff
in general, your chances are you're going to attract people who are doing the same thing.
Right.
And sometimes that looks like drinking a lot or, you know, numbing ourselves through various activities.
Food. Television, yeah. Work, sex, love.
So it's a lot of like avoiding and just numbing and just kind of coping. And you're going to attract your community that's doing the same thing. So when you do this work, if you do this work and you're committed to the work and you're committed to being your best self, that community is going to shift. Because you're going to crave people in your life. You're going to crave community who understand how imperative it is to do this kind of work and to heal.
And you're also going to find that there's certain people you can't really hang out with anymore. And not in a judgmental, like, hierarchical way.
There's no superiority complex around this.
But it's like, wow, I actually can't hang out with them. They're engaging in this stuff and I don't engage in that anymore. And that's, you know, we're going our separate ways. I've found with all the work I've done for so many years I love working with folks who are waking up and on this journey, right? That's like my passion, is the friendships start to fall away and it can feel very isolating and kind of scary and lonely at first. And that, I just want to say, is a normal part of the process. And to kind of trust that as you continue to do this work, those folks that are on the path with you will start to appear, you know, and
thank
it
you
may
for
take
saying
some
that.
Time because the universe always takes longer than you'd like it to, but you know, it does.
Yeah, people will start to fade away and it won't even be intentional. It won't take much. Suddenly there will be an energetic shift and folks will start to shift out of your sphere and new folks will shift in.
That's right.
And it's all to match where you are in your growth and in your journey. It is so important to have supportive community. It's so important to have people in your life who really encourage you.
Support you.
And support you to be your best self. And
can have these kind of conversations with you too, if these are the kind of conversations that you like to have. I mean, you and I talk about that, right? Like, these are the kind of conversations we love to have.
Lauren and I are constantly, we're constantly seeking out people who are willing to have these conversations us. It's not for everyone, but we love it when we do run into like-minded folks who want to have these kind of deep psychological conversations.
Yeah. So I guess the point is, you know, you're on the journey, you're diving into your shadow, you're looking at your trauma, you're learning how to set boundaries, you're healing, working with a professional, you're creating a supportive, sacred, safe circle of friends and chosen family, so on and so forth. You're learning how to navigate other aspects of your journey. And what you will find is you're getting this internal liberation starting to happen. And yes, with that space, you will start to be able to access your potential and you'll start to believe in yourself and you'll start taking more risks on following those dreams that you want to follow or really going after the relationship, a healthy relationship, and figuring out how to do that. You know, taking the necessary healing steps to heal your own childhood wounds that may be affecting your ability to have a healthy relationship. And then you start to really have, you know, the life you want to have on so many levels. And I found that without this work, it's not going to ever be with the level of authenticity that we're talking about today. If that makes sense. So it's well worth it. And also, what's a really important piece as we start to wind down around the shadow is Jung sort of used this metaphor that the shadow is the coal and underneath the coal is the gold. So the shadow work is excavating the coal, removing the coal, you know, alchemically changing the coal. And underneath that is the gold, which is your true authentic self, your liberated self, your connected self to yourself, to your inner child, to, you know, safe places, healing your traumas, your breaks and bonds with parents and things like that, whatever happened to you in your childhood. And that, and that's really kind of what it looks like visually is like, so, you know, I've always found that to be so helpful is to just kind of have that idea of like, I am excavating to get to the goal that's inside of me, that's inside of all of us. Right.
Yeah. Don't give up on that.
No. And it, you know, you'll want to at times.
It's there.
Like, you know, and if you need to slow down a little bit, so you slow down a little bit, but
ask for support. And thank you for talking about chosen family. Chosen family can look like a combination of blood family and non-blood family.
Right.
Just remember that. It's really important that you select the people in your life that you want to be around that will encourage you and support you.
Yes, that's, yes, important piece too. So, well, we welcome your questions. If you have any questions about today's podcast.
Yeah.
Kind of big topic. We have some resources that will be available at the bottom of the podcast. I actually have a blog I wrote about the shadow and a little YouTube video that I did about it a while back. So check that out. And we have some other resources, some books you might want to read that will further illuminate. I mean, this topic has been written about by some really very brilliant people. So there's some really amazing books out there that will be at the bottom of this podcast. And otherwise, please
subscribe, write a review,
tell your friends on Apple Podcast. Thank you,
Dr. Lauren.
Thank you, Ilana. Till next time.
Bye.
The Consciousness Salon is owned, operated, and produced by Ilana Roche and Dr. Lauren. Music is produced by DJ Roche and edited by Tyler Hood.
We would love to hear from you. There are a number of ways to contact us. My website is www.drlaurencostine.com. That is DrLaurenCostine. And I have a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page.
You can reach me at www.alanaroche.com. That's AlanaRoshay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter as well.
This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Lauren Costine and Ilana Roche and their guests on the show.
The content here should not be taken as medical advice. It is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical or mental health questions. Thank you.